Welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
So, been thinking, hence question mark. Been thinking. So, I'm going to tell you a completely not true story. Just for a bit of fun. So, I've got a new car. All right? Yeah, I know. It's cool, isn't it? There we are. All in wraps, and it is full of petrol, because it is a petrol, not a diesel, so that's good. It's full of petrol, and I am ready to drive, okay? It is time to hit the highway in my brand new car. Well, I say brand new, of course, it's brand new to me. You know, the salesman, I think he described it as sold again. But, you know, I don't care. It's new to me. It's sparkly. It's got, you can just see sneaking through there, alloy wheels. So I am ready to hit the road. I've just got a few things because I've noticed as I've been going into it that running the car is a bit expensive. That would be expensive, okay? Running the car, it's just a little bit expensive. So it's costly, you know? And nobody warned me about this cost business. I just thought, put on the accelerator, down the A64, find a dual carriageway somewhere, because I live in Scarborough, there's bound to be one somewhere, where I can actually hit 70 or more, you never know. But nobody warned me about the cost. So I've got an idea. There's this thing in cars, and apparently this little light on my dashboard, being as this one is sold again, means I need to replace the brake fluid. But brake fluid, you've got to go and buy that, haven't you? You know, it costs money. And I thought, I was looking at the viscosity of it, so this is like a scientific theory, so we've got to believe that one, okay? And it's pretty much like what I cook chips in. Very, very similar consistency. It sort of globs a little bit. So instead of buying one of those things, I decided I could use chip oil. Yeah, good idea. No cost whatsoever because I've already had the chips and I haven't thrown it away because I'm all environmentally conscious and stuff like that. So this is like recycling as well, which is also scientific. Yeah, so fantastic. I'm being scientific and I'm saving money and I'm just going to go for using some cooking oil, used, because I don't want to waste it, used cooking oil for the car. So I'm already saving money. And there was another thing. When I was looking in the car, I suddenly realised that the seat belts have been removed. So I was looking online, and this is what I found, because apparently someone somewhere who says you need seat belts. Yeah, apparently, you know. But I've been looking into this, and I've been thinking, you know, come on, no restrictions. Do you know how restricted those things are? Don't you just hate it when you go to lean forward for something, and that little inertia reel cottons in, and then you're sort of fighting against it, and the more you fight against it, the more it kicks in, and you're sort of like pinned like this against the chair for half an hour, you know? So I'm getting rid of seatbelts, because I'm free. I have been set free. This car is sold again, and I am free. It's not like, now come on, I'm not planning on having an accident. No, I'm not going to have one of them, am I? It's not in my head, go out and have an accident. I'm a good driver, I'm just going to drive. I don't, therefore, need to fix seat belts. You know, I'm going to stick little pictures on the window so it looks like I'm wearing seat belts for the police. But I don't really need to wear them. I know what I'm doing. I can make my own choices. I'm free to make my own choices. Actually, as far as I can tell, don't know if this includes you lot here this morning, but none of my friends are wearing seatbelts and they're all still okay. You know? I didn't wear a seatbelt when I was a kid. There was eight of us crammed in the back of the Renault 12 to be taken to primary school. We're still all alive. Who needs seatbelt? I mean, today, they have to have those car seat things as well. Oh, we're free. That's my free impression. And while I'm on this, you know, this thing, what about these things? Aren't they so irritating? Speed limits. Absolutely. Ron says yes. Let's get rid of them. Yeah? Are we not supposed to be free of all rules and regulations as somebody who's sold again? Yes, we are, you wombat. We're free. Rules like this, they're for other people. Yeah? Other people need speed limits. Other people who are not as good at driving as I am. Other people who don't know how to adjust to the road conditions. When it's raining, I might stay closer to them, just a little bit higher. You know, 70 down a motorway, that's okay for people in Morris Minors. We don't have Morris Minors anymore. I have a new car with decently adjusted seatbelts and brakes. I'm going to do 95. And if it's raining, 85, just to keep on the safer side. You know, I'm not stupid. I'm just free. I don't need no limits. I mean, those speed limits were made for people generations ago. We're like talking the 1960s, the dark ages. You know, they're not needed, are they? And I found another way to save some money. Big savings coming up. My hot tip for Sunday. Don't need none of that. What do you need that for? As I told you, I'm not planning on having an accident. Why should I pay for other people's irresponsible driving? I'm a responsible driver. I know because I told myself so. I'm set free from all that paperwork, all that signing documents, all that having to pay money. I'm sold again. I don't need to go for that stuff. So, I mean, this is going to save me a fortune. I just don't need insurance. And as long as I don't do anything wrong, the police aren't going to ask me for my documents, so I'll be fine. I'll just say they're in the post or something anyway. And I was really getting into this thought of being free now, free to really drive how I want to drive. I've really been set free for what I want to do. And I thought, well, the final one that I really need to address in terms of this freedom, because we're set free from cultural and religious restrictions, aren't we? I'm not going to get religious on you, okay? And I'm not going to impose. I don't want to impose culture on you. So here's one we need to get rid of that people follow religiously, and it's very much the UK culture, and a few others. Driving on the left. Thou shalt drive on the left-hand side. I'm free. I don't need to follow someone's rules, regulations. I'll drive on whatever side feels right to me on that day of the week. I'm going to go on the left-hand side on Monday, the right-hand side on Tuesday, and straight down the middle on Wednesdays. God will protect me, right? Won't he? He's my God. He'll protect me whatever I do. So down the middle of this. Thursdays as well. And Fridays. And then on the right-hand side on Saturdays. And then I'm going to go to France and drive on the left. Because I am free. What do you think? Is this wisdom? Let's start again. Let's start again. Because I know most of you are knowing absolutely what I'm getting at. So, new car. Okay? A new car. And let's not talk about being sold again, but born again. Born again, set free, absolutely. And you're brand new. Here we go. Here it is. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. How many of you agree with that? This is no pre-owned. This is no second hand. This is no sold again. This is born again. This is a brand new start. When you give your life to Jesus, when you surrender to Jesus, when you say yes to him, he makes you a brand new creation. And he's constantly renewing you. You're fresh. You're handsome. You're beautiful. You're gorgeous. You're intelligent because he made you. You might measure yourself to some other rubbish standards, but ignore them. If you measure yourself to his standards, he says, I did a good job. Amen. Sometimes we do the best to ruin that good job by driving down the center of the road and use cooking fat for braking oil. But We're still great. You're still a new creation. Well, and then there was something else I mentioned. Do you remember this one? Expensive. I found out that being owner of a car was expensive. Being born again is expensive. It's more expensive than a new car. Because we basically, when we surrender to God, say, I'll give you everything. Somehow we interpret that into, I only have to give 10% into the church collection. I don't know where that idea comes from under grace. We give him everything. If we need stuff to live on, we're saying, what do I need to live on? It's a bit of a flip, I know, but it's costly. It's costly in terms of our life, the decisions we make, where we live. We can no longer just decide to move. It's like, is this God that wants me to do this? Am I listening to God here, or am I listening to the fact that I'm going to be paid more? Or am I listening to the fact that I don't want to move away from my family? When we moved from Horsham up to Scarborough, it was costly. I really did not want to leave my family behind. It became even more costly than I expected because it was the last year of my dad's life. It was in that year he was diagnosed with prostate cancer and died. And I wasn't there during that year. It's costly. It's supposed to be costly. Because we say, I surrender. You're not going to outgive God, but it's costly. Where did we get this idea that grace is free? I don't know, mate. I'm sure you didn't. But I do hear it too. You know, here's Jesus. These are the words of Jesus. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Whoa. That's the same Jesus that sits down next to the poor woman at the well and encourages her to how to get her life back together again as the complete and utter reject of the town. This is the same Jesus that's accepting the prostitute, we'll say, who's washing his feet with her hair. He's the same man that accepts the Pharisee who comes to visit him in the dark of night because he's too ashamed to be in court of being with Jesus. And in fact, he's the first person to ever find out what Jesus is talking about when he tells him you must be born again. But it costs everything. This isn't just the latest product in Sainsbury's that's going to make your life better. This is life. You can't order it online from Amazon and decide that you'll give 2 days a week to it. It's 7 days a week. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Sorry, but we're not a comfortable, easy church. This is what it is. This is what it really, really is. That's why I told that daft story. Because that's like how the world thinks, but it's how it sneaks into the church. That's not who we are. We have a completely different culture and community to the world. It's called kingdom culture. I put my United Kingdom shirt on today because I'm not actually a citizen of this United Kingdom. I'm a citizen of heaven. Now, I happen to live in the United Kingdom and have a British passport, so I guess I've got the worldly status of being in the UK. But really, that's nothing compared to being a citizen of heaven with a passport signed in blood by Jesus Christ. This is my access to heaven. Isn't that incredible? But look at those words of Jesus. Aren't they tough? I mean, it makes me wince. And follow me is not worthy of me. What? Wow. I'll just leave the word there. Don't want to talk about it too much. Let's just think ourselves. Then I mentioned brake fluid, cooking oil, great savings to be made. You know, church, we need to be wise. We need to listen to our conscience. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit when he says, slow down. We need to listen to our very own conscience that says, what you're doing is not good. Or what you need to do will be good. It can be the other way around. But we need to let that brake come on. Not substitute Oprah. Not substitute the TV program. Not substitute Facebook. We don't need no cooking oil. We need the real stuff. He's called the Holy Spirit. and he operates through our conscience. Now, this is getting really quiet in here, because I've been talking about take up your cross and follow me. I've been talking about you've got to stop when you're doing stuff you shouldn't be doing. So how do you stop? I thought of this. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. If you read on, I couldn't fit it on the screen. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. We are not called to live like the world. We can't have sex with someone because we want to. We can't take drugs because it makes it easier. We shouldn't be relying on tobacco. We can't drink so much so we can get totally step-laddered for a night out with our friends. We're called to something different. We can't lie just to get out of something awkward. We shouldn't be joining in with the gossip in the office or in the playground or in school or in church. Did you know what Alex did? Oh no, tell me. I want to know now. They're all in the same list. We don't commit adultery. We don't have sex with somebody outside of marriage. And when we feel we need to have to, we have to put the brake on. And if we can't put the brake on, we'll go and get others to hold us back. That's why God put us together. Sometimes you just need someone else to hold you back from what you are so strongly tempted to do. Maybe it doesn't matter if you cheat on your taxes. Yes, it does, but everybody does it. It still matters. We should be the most honest people on the planet. If we get the wrong change and we notice it, we go and give it back. If we get the wrong change because we've been shortchanged, we probably just forgive. Unless it's there and then and it doesn't really matter. Don't get too legalistic over these things. But we are different. We've got to give up being selfish. Not everyone's selfish. Not those that take up a cross. But the answer is this, you see. The answer is not pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. The answer is not trying really, really, really hard to be good, or you'll end up in a nightmare of a life. Most of the times we do things that are wrong, it's because we are weary and burdened and need some form of relief. Heroin addicts don't take heroin addicts because they want to rebel. They take it because they took it once and it was good. This was the problem with the Just Say No campaign. It was right and it was a good message, but kids found, that when you did take drugs, the effects were good. They felt nice, because they do feel great, especially to begin with, we're talking about here. You're burdened. You want something good, so you go and get drunk for the night to let go of everything. This is not, if you're feeling ashamed right now, remember that's not the word of Jesus. Jesus only brings these things up so you can be free from them. And you say, but I've tried to be free before and then I've done it again. Yeah, do you know what? Most of us that repent today of stuff will do it again. Repentance is that I will turn from that, I will learn to walk with God, and I will pray until I am free completely from this. But I won't give up because I failed one time. Though I won't also accept, it doesn't matter. Everybody does that. It doesn't matter. I mean, the idea of one man, one woman being married exclusive to all others. That's for generations ago, isn't it? Actually, it was the 1960s that really changed the ideas on that. Is it this big controlling God in the sky saying, this is what you need to do because I want you to do it? Or is it because perhaps he made us and knows how we work? So if I read my car manual, it will tell me what dot level and what kind of brake fluid I need to put into the car so that that car continues to function correctly. So I may as well read the manual that God gave me, called the Word of God, called the Bible, to see what needs to go into me to enable me to function. When we get caught up in these things, it's not, there's no God trying to make us feel bad. The devil will make you feel bad because he wants to push you further and further away. If yesterday you were caught in adultery, Saturday, what should you do on Sunday? Go to church. There should never be anybody sat in this room that thinks they cannot be here because of something they did. Because this is the only place that you can get put back on the right road. Because there's a bunch of people around you. And by the grace of God, we're learning not to judge one another for falling over. Because Jesus doesn't. And help one another to be restored. Can I borrow you for a minute, Brian? This will be minorly embarrassing. I hope is that okay? I haven't told you what it is, but...
It's okay.
Could you sit over there on the step? Okay. This is completely forced. It has nothing to do with their lives whatsoever, but I want to use it as an illustration. Brian's senior leader of a church. Yesterday, he slept with another woman other than Shona. This is why I said it would be embarrassing and horrible. But I want to root it in a person. Because we talk about these things so much in theory that we forget we're talking about people we love. And he's a senior leader. He's sitting there right now. You're sitting there. What are you going to do? Nobody going to Shona. I think she'd be pretty messed up. Just one person. Is it? Because most of the time we don't help people because we're too embarrassed to move. We're too comfortable where we are. It's not for me. He's just doing a little bit of play acting here. There's always a reason not to help someone get restored. And I know I'm making you feel awful right now, but I'm only doing it to try and really get this point that Jesus wants people to be restored through forgiveness. That's why he died on the cross. What if Brian hasn't repented yet? Does that make any difference? No. We still want him restored. We want to lead him to a place of repentance. And presumably, in this story, there is a fictional third person, which we won't invent, because that's just going too far. And I hope there's some people with her as well. Or him. Well, or is that one unforgivable? Because if it is, Jesus' death wasn't enough and you're saying he's not God. Or he wasn't a perfect sacrifice. God seems to focus a lot more on things like lying and gossip. There's 3,000 odd scriptures about helping widows and orphans, and there's a minor handful about gay sex. And even some of those people wonder about. Are we in the restoration and forgiveness business, or are we in the judgment and they need to be dealt with business? Thank you.
Thank you.
hard. What do we do when a Christian couple get divorced? Shun them? Does Jesus shun people? If somebody is actively involved in something and refuses to repent and it's serious, there can come a period of time when you give them over to what they're doing. But you're still only doing that because you want to see them restored. And the restoration is to come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, and you will find rest for your souls. And if we are God's representatives, when people come to us, that's how they should feel. And then there was seat belts. Lots of people hate seat belts. I really do find the inertia real annoying, don't you? But I do wear it. And it's true. I was one of eight kids in the back of a Renault 12 all stuffed in. And it was true that none of us got hurt. You can, as a Christian, get away with all sorts of stuff. Sometimes you don't know you're getting away with it. You know, every week, I'm 53 now, and I've been a Christian minister for just on 30 years almost, and yet God still seems to find things that I need to deal with. And I sort of think, I've been in ministry 30 years and those things have always been there, and you haven't brought them up yet. You see, that's also grace. We tend to have a very restricted view of life here and now, and God is preparing us for eternity.
Yeah, come on. Amen.
This is just a flash, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a very important flash, but the importance of this flash is for it to be a love, place of love, acceptance, a place where lives are changed, a place where people do repent and turn from sin, but never feel, I can't go near that place because they're all so holy. Because if we're truly holy, people will flock here. Because holiness is attractive. That's why the crowds flock to Jesus. He must be the best example of the most holy person ever. And people flocked to him. People wanted to be near him. People wanted to touch him. Even what some would call the worst. I'm sorry to go from such a stupid story into such... But actually, this is freeing. It's God reminding us that it's okay to be different. We don't judge the world. We don't say our culture is superior. It's not superior. It's given to us by grace. If we start feeling it superior, that implies pride. The wrong sort of pride. Arrogance. What are seatbelts? Well, I just thought of this one. This one came to me. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a lamp to guide my feet, and a light for my path. I obviously have memorized a different version. I was struggling to read that then. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light to go my path. The word keeps you safe. When it says do this or don't do that, it's not to restrict us. It's to enable us to be safe. True safety in God. Here was another one. Speed limits. You don't like speed limits. None of us really like speed limits because we'd really like to just drive as fast as we feel safe to. But the speed limits are there for the safety of all of us, the safety of the community. And God's limits are there for the safety of the community. The rules were made generations ago, I said. I don't need them in the 21st century. No, but they were made by a God who's eternal and outside time. And he's given us the full revelation of the law, which is fulfilled in Jesus. If we want to know how to interpret Leviticus, we have to look to Jesus. Because Leviticus is full of all sorts of laws that are puzzling. And they were given to those people to help them be a people set apart for God. They were prophetic of what was to come. And some of those are not necessary. We can wear mixed fibres. That's one that they're not supposed to do. They're not wearing mixed fibres because they're showing that they are one people set apart, not a whole mixed bunch, but the people of God together. In fact, today, sitting here, we come from all kinds, we're all mixed fibres. We all come from different places, different cultures, different times. So we're all mixed fibres, but, you see, the prophecy said you will be one people by wearing the one fibre, and in Christ we are one people. Amen. Isn't that incredible? Yeah. So that's why the Jews had to wear one fibre. We are very blessed. We live into what they look forward to. Isaiah prophesied his head off, looking forward to a time when everything was going to be so amazing.
Yeah, that's right.
We live in that time. Wow. How blessed are we?
Amen.
We don't have to live in that really difficult culture. We get to live today as the one people of God.
Amen.
The community of God. Under the community of God that is the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How can people think you can go it alone? Even God doesn't go it alone. God's a community. And even then, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he wants to invite others into that. Wow. Speed limits. Now, what about this then? For those like Ron and me that don't like them that much. But those who obey God's word, we're talking about God's word, not speed limits, aren't we now? Show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. This is John. This is not an Old Testament prophet. This is a thoroughly New Testament person of God. Those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. Wow. Wow. How much do you love God? I love you, Jesus. You can stand at the front here, and I pray that you do this. I love you, Jesus. You're awesome. You're glorious. But then the word says, then show it. You need both. If you don't do this bit, worshipping God, and worship isn't really just this. This is an important part. Worship's everything. Don't any of you work in a bank? No? Well, when you go to work in a bank, if there happened to be such a person, you're worshipping God. We restrict worship to just this time. This time is essential. But when you go to work in school, when you go to work in the supermarket, when you work in the hub, it's worship. Because you're giving everything you're doing to God. When you go home and give your wife or your husband a kiss, it's worship. And I'll dare to say it, when you go to bed with your wife and have an enjoyable evening together, it's worship. When you go out with some friends and you don't get step-laddered, you just have a drink and you enjoy one another's company, it's worship. When you meet up for a cup of coffee with somebody who's struggling, that perhaps you find a little bit difficult, but you know you need to spend some time with them, it's worship. When you get on your knees in the morning before God and intercede before him, that's worship. When you're relaxing in the evening and you just watch a TV program, not one that's obviously outrageous and of the world, but you're just relaxing there, it's worship. You're saying, thank you, Jesus, for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to take an hour to do absolutely nothing. What a privilege. How many people in the world have that privilege? When you get out the Xbox and you play a few games, if you have the attitude, I suppose that should be in everything I've said, it's worship. It's like, praise God, I'm so blessed. I've been able to buy this. I've got games to play on it. Everything can be God-focused. Our lives are for him. Suddenly it means it turns seeking first the kingdom of God into something a little bit more we can understand and do. Sometimes people think, well, I've just got to stand on the street corner every day shouting the gospel. No, we've got to live our lives as lives that give glory to God. Sure, if you're doing stuff like what we were talking about, that's not worship. It's the opposite. That's sticking two fingers up at God. Wow. The last one was this one. Insurance. I think you could go into depth in a lot of these, and you could probably look at everything I said and bring up different scriptures and say it in different ways. Like all parables, there's lots, all sorts of ways to think about them. And I'm not saying it's a parable like one of Jesus, but it certainly helped us to think today. I was thinking about this insurance thing, and one of the things I said when I told the story is, why should I pay for all the other people? All their mistakes. And I think insurance, in terms of where I was thinking today, is like community. Why should I be responsible for all those other people? Because we are those other people. This is who we are. We can't run away. Sometimes it saddens me when people hop from congregation to congregation to congregation to congregation because they're missing out so much of what God has for them. The problem is, you see, if you hang around people and you start to get to know them, you find out one another's disagreeable bits. You find out they're not as perfect as they seem. You join a new congregation, everybody's absolutely awesome. Yeah? You know, that guy, I definitely pick on Alex today. Alex is so amazing, you know? I really like him. You know, he's full of energy and he smiles and, you know, he's a great dad. And then you get to know Alex a bit more and you suddenly find out, I won't reveal all your bad points. That would be a little unfair. But I know quite a lot of your bad points and you know quite a lot of mine. For those of you listening on the recording, Alex replied, it's because they're the same. It's true, isn't it? And that's what happens in community. But the thing is that what he's saying there is really true, because often what annoys you in someone else is to do with the fact that that's wrong in you. It's often that they're acting as a mirror. And so when you run and go somewhere else, you don't get the chance to be purified, to be cleansed, to be set free from that particular issue in your life. And all the time you thought it was them. And then you go to a new place, and you get into it and you think, this is brilliant, great people. And then a few people start to grate on you because they will, because we're people. I get irritated with God, don't you? Now, I can tell you that's my fault, not his. Sometimes I get so frustrated with God. Do you know what's really annoying about God? He's always right. I'm never right. I've never won an argument. I've never proved he was wrong. And he's so irritating. Yeah. Hear what I'm really saying. Yeah, it's about community, and it's because it's enabled us to be the people God wants us to be. Because this idea that we're all separate individuals is something that's come from the world into the church. We are individuals, of course we are, but actually God's created us to be community. Amen. And it's only the last 300 years that people have started thinking everything has to be completely individual. I'm not talking about us all living in a big communal house. That would really find out some bad stuff then. Well, you stop pressing the toothpaste in the middle. You have to roll it up from the end. Communities fall apart on such things. Marriages struggle on such things. But it doesn't really show anything about toothpaste or the other person. It shows what's in you. When I do get irritated with God, it's revealing something in me. Yeah, it's not the truth when I'm talking about us two. No. Ron and me are good friends, but we are so different. You know, he's like northern man, and I'm southern wuss. Yeah. He's an engineer, you know? I'm a theologian. I mean, I ask you. He knows science and stuff. I know playing board games. But we're friends. And we've learned to appreciate the differences. And actually, it makes us richer. Because we come at things from completely different ways of understanding. And actually, that makes it larger and more fun. But in nearly every other place in the world, other than the church, I don't think we would be friends. Because we don't have much in common, really, apart from God. But that is the thing to put people together. That's why church is so awesome. You've got such a breadth of different people. You know, I struggle a little bit. I really wish people wouldn't build specialist churches because church is broad. It's the genius of the Anglican church. They've got so many people from so many wide stretches. That's not a disadvantage. That's beautiful. Even when they all fall out with each other. And who wouldn't with some of the things they believe in the group? You know, it's going to happen. Hallelujah. So I came up with this verse. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards good deeds. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. This is what, for me, this is a huge verse about what it is to be the community of God. Sundays, Saturdays, Mondays, Tuesdays, any day of the week. But when we come together, it's like, how can I spur somebody else on? How can I encourage somebody else today? You know, what am I going to give today into the community? It's a good verse, isn't it? And the last one was this one, the driving on the left. That's when my story just began to enter into the realm of ridiculous. I mean, that's more than anything a rule that enables you to be free, isn't it? I have been, or perhaps heard more, but I have been in nations where that kind of principle isn't so strongly held, and it's chaos, and more people die. When you don't follow what God has given us, it's not that you are free. It's that more people get hurt. Now, you know, I am a grace preacher again and again and again and again. So some of you are probably in shock at what I've done today. But it's kind of that counterbalance, isn't it? We don't follow the word because it's the law. We follow the word because we love Jesus. Because he is the word. And if we truly love him, we'll truly want to do what he's given us to do. This isn't a word that makes the church swell with numbers. Initially. It is a church that makes us, it is a word that causes a church to grow strong. Together. And you might be surprised because I haven't mentioned Luke 11 or Isaiah 62.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We apologize that this online recording ends slightly earlier than the live talk on Sunday morning. This was due to a technical problem. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith Yorkshire, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.